Today's shiur is the Masechta Bava Metzi on Daf Samach. We will begin with the Mishnah in the middle of the last line on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. Our Mishnah today will discuss various practices in business, and some of them are deceptive, and others are legitimate business practices, and the Mishnah and the following Gemara will give the guidelines. Begins the Mishnah. Ein ma'arvin peiris b'peiris afilu chadashim b'chadashim. One is not allowed to mix peiris, literally means fruits. What it means here in the Mishnah is grain. For, as Rashi explains the case, the last Rashi on the Amid, Baal Abaya Sha'imer peiris sa deployni ani moichalach kach v'kach son lo yarven b'peiris sa d'acheris. If he contracted with someone to provide him grain from one particular field, a certain amount, he should not mix into it grain from another field. The Shita Mekabetzes tells us that Rashi understood the Mishnah in this particular way, because if a contract had not been made from a specific field, then in fact it would be permitted, because everyone understands that the mocher may sell a mixture of grain coming from various fields. Our Mishnah, according to Rashi's understanding, is speaking about where a contract was made from a specific field, then in fact, he should not mix in grain from another field, even if they're all fresh grain from both fields, but yet, that would not be a legitimate business practice. Continues the Mishnah on Daf, Samach Amid Aleph, the Ein Sorach Leimer, and certainly it is forbidden to mix in Chadoshim b'yishanim, if they had contracted to provide old grain, which Rashi tells us is of a superior quality than fresh grain, because from the old grain one is able to harvest more, gather more flour than the fresh grain. So if the contract was for yishanim, certainly it goes without saying that one would not be allowed to mix in fresh grain, which is of an inferior quality. Now, Rashi, in this next Rashi on the Amid, in the second Rashi, Devar Amaskel B'nei Shemash Bichoy, Rashi tells us there that this case is dafka, chadoshim b'yishanim, to mix new into old. But what about the opposite? What about if the contract was for new grain and he wants to mix in old grain? Then Rashi says it would be mutter, because then, in fact, he is mixing in superior grain, because he can get more flour, as we mentioned, from the older grain. However, on this, the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says that if the contract was for Chadoshim, one would not be allowed to mix in Yishanim, because perhaps the purchaser wanted to put away this grain in a silo for storage. He wanted to age the grain himself, and if that was the case, then in his particular situation, the chadoshim would be better, because he doesn't want to start off with old grain, which might spoil. So he maybe wants specifically to have the newer grain. And therefore, the Rosh says that the Mishnah is lav dafka, according to the Rosh. It is, if the contract was for yishanim, one should not mix in chadoshim. And if the contract was for chadoshim, one should not mix in yishanim. Continues the Mishnah. The Emes Amru, in truth, Chazal said that b'yayin hitiru la'arav kasher b'rach, that when someone sells wine to the lokeach, he's allowed to mix in the stronger wine into the milder wine, as Rashi explains, because the stronger wine is of a better quality. The longer wine ages, the better it gets. So, in fact, if he made up to give milder wine and he's mixing in the stronger wine, it will enhance the quality of the wine. And here Rashi says the case is dafke. It's only permitted. This heter is only strong wine into mild wine. But the opposite, to mix in mild wine into strong wine, when in fact he's mixing an inferior wine into the better wine, that of course would be usser. So in our case in the Mishnah, where he's mixing in the stronger wine into the milder wine, it is mutter, concludes the Mishnah. Why? Mipnei shumesh bichai, because in fact he is making this milder wine superior. He's improving the quality of that wine. And the Gemara will discuss in what instances this heter applies. Continues the Mishnah. Ein ma'arvin shmore yain b'yain. One is not allowed to mix in the sediments of wine into wine. Avol noisin le'ashmorev. But he could give, in, with this wine, he could give its sediments. And the Gemara immediately will ask that it seems to be a stira from one phrase of the Mishnah to the other. First it says, you're not allowed to mix in the shmorim, and then it says you are. It seems to say, you are allowed to mix in the shmorim. We'll see what the Gemara will answer to this question. Continues the Mishnah. Mishnah is arv mine b'yenoi, leim karenabichnus. If somebody had diluted wine with water, he should not sell it in his store, in his retail store, Elohim Kane Haidiyoi, unless he notifies, as Rashi says, L'chol Echad Ve'echad Man Shamayim Muravenboy. If he notifies each and every customer that you should know this wine has water mixed into it, then it's permitted. But if he's not Maidia, he's not allowed to sell it in the store. And V'loy L'tager, he's not allowed to sell this wine to a merchant who will subsequently sell it to the stores. He's not allowed to sell this wine to a wholesaler. Afal pishu idea, even if he notifies him. Why? She'ein noy el ramis boy. Why is the merchant interested in purchasing his diluted wine? Because he wants to cheat on his clients. He wants to pretend as if it's regular wine undiluted. And therefore, even if he notifies the tagger, we're afraid that the tagger will in turn use this diluted wine and cheat his customers. And we'll see later in the sugya that Rashi says, if one would do this, one would be over on lifnei iver lo siten michshel. And we'll get into this more when we learn the Rashi and the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Makom shenogu lahatol mayim b'yayin yatilu. If the minig is that everyone knows that that's the custom, then as Rashi says, then there's no misleading over here. Because all wines are becheskas that they had water diluted in it. And therefore, you're allowed to do that even l'chatchila. Continues the Mishnah, Hatagur noito mehe granos v'noisin l'toich megurachas. A tagur is allowed to take from five different threshing floors, and he could put it into one megura. Rashi explains megura is a silo where he keeps all of these various grains from the five different fields, because again, this is speaking about that everyone knows that this is the derech of the merchant to collect from various fields and getting the grain from those threshing floors and then collecting it together. So there's nothing misleading about what he has done. Likewise, mehe gitois, he's allowed to get it from five different wine presses. V'noisin l'toich pitom echad, and he puts it into one cask. Because again, that's the derech. Everyone's aware that the wine in the cask can come from various wine presses, and there's nothing misleading about it. There's no cheating involved. How ubulvad, there's one stipulation, shelo yehem eschavin la'arev. As Rashi explains, he has a good strategy. In the beginning, he'll run his business that he'll only get the best wine. And after a while, once the coil goes out, that, oh, you want superior, superb wine, go to this fellow. He gets only from the best wine presses. And later, he'll mix in from a different place, which is not as superior, which is inferior. So if that's his kavana, then of course, he's not allowed to do that because that will be misleading the purchasers. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Ein tzorach loimer chadoshis mi'arbo, v'yishonis mi'sholish ein marvin. It goes without saying that if the fresh grain was worth four, that, in other words, that Rashi explains, four son were bought with one seller, and the older, superior grain, from which you can make more flour, there one seller would purchase sholosh, dein marvin. So, of course, you cannot mix in the new grain if they had contracted to buy the old grain because you're cheating. You're putting in something worth less. That certainly you can't mix together. Even if the new grain is more expensive and one seller would only purchase 3 so'en of new grain, the yeshanis mearbo, and the yeshanis were cheaper, and the one seller would purchase 4 so'en of the old grain, still ein ma'arvin. Still you're not allowed to mix the chadoshes into the yeshanis, which the Mishnah said on top of the Amid. The ein tzarach loymer chadoshim yeshanim. It doesn't matter whether the chadoshim are worth more or they're worth less. Mipnei, she'odom writes liyashnon. As Rashi explains, what does this mean? Because normally the old ones should always be worth more because you can get more flour from the old ones. So why, in fact, is there a case here where the newer ones are worth more? So Rashi explains, the only reason that the newer ones are worth more is because the person who's buying them wants to store them. And for him, it's better to get fresher grain, which he can store for a longer time. If he gets older grain, it's going to spoil in a short time. So really older grain produces more flour. The only time newer grain would be more expensive is if the people in that area want to purchase grain to store it. So then, even though you're going to get less flour right now from the fresher grain, but if you have a long-term objective to store this flour, then you'll be willing to pay more for the newer grain. So since that's the only reason that one would pay more for the newer grain, that's why you cannot mix that newer grain into the older one. Why? Because if I contracted for the older one, it must be that I'm not interested in storing it. I want to use the older grain right away to make flour. So for me, I bedafka want the older grain. I don't want the newer grain, even though the newer grain in the area where I live is being sold at a higher price for storage. But by the fact that I contracted for older grain, it's a rye I don't want to store it. I want to use it immediately for flour. So for me, it's not good to have the fresher grain from which one would only get lesser flour. So in all cases, it is prohibited to mix it in. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Emes Amru, Chazal said, Be'emes, in truth, that Be'yayin, Hitiru La'arv, Kashabrach, you could mix in stronger wine into milder wine, because you're improving the wine. Amra Blazer, Ado Amra means Zoysa Meris. These words, whenever you find in Shas, in Mishnayis, the terminology of Be'emes Amru, what do those words mean? Call Be'emes Amru Halachihi. Wherever it says Be'emes Amru, we could learn from our Mishnah that those words mean, in truth, Chazal said, means that this is the Halach. And Rashi explains, because since the Mishnah gives a reason, why are you allowed to mix in stronger wine into milder wine? Because you're being mashbiach. You're improving the whole nature of the milder wine by mixing in the superior older wine. And on that svora, no one can argue, and no one in fact does argue. So, and on that, Chazal said, be'emes amru, so it means something which has a svora that no one can argue with. On that, I use the terminology be'emes amru because that's the halacha. So whenever it says Be'emes Amru, it means this is the halacha, and we could see a precedent from our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman, when are you allowed to mix in stronger wine into milder wine? Ubein Agita Shanu. That was only if it was during wine production. As Rashi explains, because during wine production, while the different wines are aging, so if I mix in 2 different wines, one is a older wine and one is a stronger wine and one is a milder wine, so they can ferment together and then they together get one good superior taste and smell. However, if it's already after the time of the wine production, so then each wine has already fermented. It already has received its own taste and smell. Now if you're going to mix the stronger wine with the milder wine, in fact, Rashi says the stronger wine will make the milder wine deteriorate. It only is mashbiachit if they are able to ferment together. But otherwise, it'll be a chesorin. So our Mishnah that says it's mutter, it's only speaking about during wine production. Ask the Gemara Voidna now. We see that they mix the stronger wine with the milder wine even after the wine production. How come? And the Gemara is going to give two terutzim. Amra Papa, the Yadi V'Kamachli. Number one, people know that this is done. And it's the minigamaka. So when I buy wine, I know that probably they mix together older wine with milder wine. And yet I buy it because pshat is, I know that's the minig and I'm moichel. Teretz number two, Rav Acha b'Rav Ravik Amar, Hamani Rav Achi, this is going according to Rav Acha, the Sanya we learned in the Brayso, Rav Acha matur b'davar anitam. Rav Acha is matur in something that you can taste. So the pshat is, that if a person is able to taste the wine, like we all know, we have wine tasting before you purchase a bottle of wine, so you're able to taste it. So if something could be tasted, and I could detect in this wine that there is this stronger wine that is present, so I'm not cheating you in any way, because you know that I mixed in the stronger wine into the milder wine. So memela, that is permitted. That's why we do it. So it would seem, the pashtus of our Gemara would seem, that Rab Nachman, when he said that our mission is speaking about only during wine production, is mechulik with this. We were trying to understand how come bisman hazeh we do it even after wine production. So we gave a teretz because it's going according to Rav Acha. The Rav Acha is matter if you can detect it by tasting it. But Rav Nachman said that we do it bedafka during wine production. Charetz amachloikis. However, the way the Lecha Mishnah learns in the Rambam, we see that, and we know the Rambam is like Rashi, even though he's a Baal Halach, he's a Mefarish. We can see from the way the Rambam paskins the halacha here that he was mefarish the Gemara differently. The Rambam understood that there's no machlekes, because in fact the Rambam says both dinim. The Rambam says you can only do it like Rav Nachman ben Agit, this during wine production. And then the Rambam says, and by Dover Anitim it's also mutter. So if it would be a machlekes, how could the Rambam paskin like both dinim? Ask the Lecha Mishnah. So says the Lecha Mishnah that the Rambam learned that Gemara, it's not a machlekes. That the Gemara is saying as follows. Rav Nachman says, Bein Agittis, that's speaking about when you can't taste it. When it's put in a small amount, it's not detectable. So then, Einichanami, it's only mutter at the time of wine production when both wines, the stronger and the milder one, are fermenting together, and then it'll come out with a superior, superb wine. However, what happens if it is diluted? It is mixed together in great amounts that it's very easily to detect that the two wines were mixed together. That's what Rav Acha is saying. Something that you can detect by tasting. And yet you go ahead and buy it. You can't say that the seller cheated you. You know that what you're getting into. You know that they mixed it after the wine season and wine production and they put the two wines together. So the Rambam paskin that the Mishnah is speaking about where it wasn't detectable. And yet if it's mixed to a great amount where it is detectable, then it's mutter as well. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The Gemara immediately is going to ask a steer. You begin by saying you're not allowed to mix sediments into the wine, and then you tell me, but you are allowed to mix. What's going on here? And if you're going to tell me, my, the Bach puts in the word, avol, what it says in the second phrase, but you can give him the sediments, it speaking about when you're modia, when you notify the purchaser that you put in sediments, that's not a good teretz. Why? Hamidik Tani Seifa, since we looked in the Seifa. Lo yimcharena b'chanus, you're not allowed to sell diluted wine. Not sediments. Now we're talking about water and wine. You cannot sell it in your store. Elam kemadia. Unless you let the purchaser, each one, know that this wine is diluted. Veloy l'tagur, you're not allowed to sell it to a merchant. Afal pishu maidia. Even if you told the tagur it was diluted. Why? Because the tagur wants to buy it only for the purpose of selling it to unsuspecting people and cheating them. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it. Michlal. This is the first time in the Mishnah that the Mishnah discusses anything to do with being moidia. Michla dereish afagav delay moidia lay. So if this is the first time in the Mishnah that the Mishnah introduces the idea of being moidia, it would seem that till now in the Mishnah, we're not talking about moidia. So you cannot give me a teretz in the case of sediments that it's speaking about it was moidia. I'm Rav Yehuda Hachikomer. This is the correct shot in the Mishnah concerning sediments. Ein marv shmorm shel emish b'shel yoyim. V'loy shel yoyim b'shel emish. You cannot mix the sediments of yesterday with today, or today with yesterday. Rashi says, lav dafka today and yesterday, it means you cannot mix one barrel to another barrel. Except normally, if you're mixing yesterday's with today's, and today's with yesterday's, you're mixing two different barrels. But the main point of the Gemara is not the day. The main point is, if you mix from one barrel to another, the sediments of one barrel to another will spoil that wine. Avol, that's the ratio of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to do. Avol noisnoy eshmarav. But you're allowed to give the sediments of that barrel itself. Of today's barrel, you're allowed to, because the sediments of the wine itself does not spoil the wine. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned like this in the Bryce as well. Rav Yudaim, Rav Yudah says, Hashaifa, Yan L'chaver, Rashi says Hashaifa means you're pouring it very slowly so that you can retain the shmarim. If you poured slowly wine to your friend, you should not mix the sediments of yesterday with today and today with yesterday. Again, as Rashi explained, because you are mixing two different barrels. Avul ma'arv shel emish b'shel emish. But yesterday's sediments you can mix together with yesterday's wine. V'shel yoyim b'shel yoyim. But and today's sediments you can mix with today's wine. Pshat is, because it's the sediments of the same barrel, and memela, that will not spoil the wine. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Mishnah is arv mine be yaino. If somebody mixed water into his wine, hareiz elim chorenam bechinus, you shouldn't sell it into a in his store. Elim came with the unless he told each and every customer that it's diluted. The Gemara says a story. Rava Aisule Chamra Mechanusa. To Rav, they brought wine from a store. Mazge, he diluted it. That was his custom, to always dilute wine. Tame, he tasted it. Loyavibosim, he didn't enjoy it. It wasn't pleasing to him. So he sent it back to the store. Shadri Lechanusa. Amalei Abaye, how could you send it back to the store? Now that you mixed it, Vanantna, we learned in our Mishnah, Veloy Latagar, you shouldn't sell it to a merchant, Afal Pishadia, even though you're letting him know. Why? Because he's going to, what's his purpose of buying diluted wine? To fool customers into thinking that it's not diluted, and he's cheating them. So who are then here? If you send it now back to the store that you bought it from, it's not only a tagger who's a merchant like a wholesaler, but even a retailer. It's also usher. The only time it's mutter is if you're the owner of the store, and you diluted it, and you tell each and every customer that it's diluted, then it's mutter. But for you to now of it, to send it back to the store from where you purchased it, that what's that chanus person going to do? He's going to give it to other to the customers. And Rashi says here, around 6-7 lines from where it gets wide, at the beginning of the line, Ve'ikra lifnei iver. He brings the pasuk of Vayikra Yotes. And you're going to be over on lifnei iver by giving this diluted wine back to the chenveni. Everybody asks on Rashi, why are you Ivan Lifnaiver? We know the Gemara says that you're only Ivan Lifnaiver when it's Trey Avri Denari, like a Nazir, who there's wine on the other bank of the river, and you bring him the wine from that bank of the river to this bank of the river. He couldn't have gotten it himself. You're Ivan Lifnaiver. But here, we're talking about diluted wine. The guy in the store, the owner, he could have diluted it. He goes to the tap, takes some water, and puts it in. What's the Lifnaiver? So one teretz that the Achrayin give is that this is considered trei avri denari. Why? Because as we'll see later in the sugya, the isser is to give something to someone which he can use right away to fool someone. In other words, the guy in the store on his own volition, we're not choshed that he's going to go to the tap and mix in water into the wine. But now that Rava sent it back and Rava diluted it And Rava was my dietim. You should know I put in water. Oh, I already got this wine that Rava diluted. I'll sell it already. It's right here. So that is called Trey Avri Denari. Because on my own, I'm not going to be brazen enough to go ahead and mix in water. But if I got it from you, you already did the dirty work and I have it already in my store, so then I'll rationalize and say, you know, it's here anyway, Rav has sent it back, so I'll sell it. So that is called Trei Avri Denari. Or others say what Rashi really means is not Lifnei Midaraisa, but Rashi means Misayeya, which is Durabonin, and Misayeya to help someone to do an Avera, that's also even if it's not Trei Avri Denari. Memela, so that was the kasha that Abaye asked Rav here. How could you send it back to the owner of the store? He's going to use it to fool people by selling them diluted wine. Amrlei, so Rava answered, Mazgididi made the idea. I'm mixing so much water into the wine, everybody's going to know it's mixed. No, there's no problem that anyone will be misled. V'chi tema, so Rava said, maybe you'll say, the tafi mechayle, maybe he will add wine. And he will strengthen it. Umaz bin Lay, maybe I put in so much water. So what he'll do is, instead of you put in 50% water, I'll put in wine 25% water. I'll still gain that I sold wine, which was 25% diluted. So why should I be able to give back this wine to the owner of the store? Maybe he'll still fool around with the wine and cause a cheat over here. On that, Rava said, "Im kein ein l'dover soif." So far, they didn't prohibit. As Rashi says, because if so, you would never be able to sell water. If this person had a water cooler in a store, you would have an issur, don't sell water to a wine store, because maybe the wine store person is going to use that water to dilute. Ein l'dover soif. And here's where Rashi points out, the issur is to put into his hand something that he could misuse. It has to be ready-made. We're not chosh he's going to take water from the water cooler. He's not going to dilute wine on his own. But if I send him back a ready diluted wine, he has it right in his hand, then there's a chash. So Rava answered, it's so diluted, everybody will know. You don't have to worry that anybody will think, maybe he'll add wine to make it less diluted and still be cheating the customer. A coolie high, we're not chayshish, because he doesn't have it right in front of him to make problems. Continues the Gemara with the next part of the Mishnah. They're allowed l'chatchil, if that's the minigah mokum, to dilute wine, and by putting water in, Tana, we learned in a brisa, l'machsel l'shlishel revia. Whatever the minigah of that mokum is, if they diluted half, a third, a quarter, you're allowed. Amarav, ubeina gittishana, when was this said? When was it said it's mutter l'machzor shlish revia? If it was done at the time of the wine production. Because then apparently the wine can still be a good wine. That is the minig of the makam to do it while they're producing the wine. But once the wine is already produced, to go and put in the water then, that would still be usser. Continues the Mishnah with another practice that the Moichrim had. And you have this a lot of times in bakeries. So kids come in, and the sales lady says, "Oh, would you like to have a cookie?" The shail is, "Are you allowed to do such a thing?" Because the kid will always want to come back to this store to get the free cookies. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yichalik hachen v'ni kloyos ve'goizel tenaikus. The store owner should not distribute toasted grains and nuts, which were delicacies, to the small children, because he's making the kids will nag at the parents. I want to go to the store, I get a candy over there. And by that, he's not being fair. He's taking away the parnasa from his competitor who's not doing that. The chachamim say it's mutter. As we'll see in the Gemara, the Chachamim say you could do the same thing and you could serve prunes, which is a bigger delicacy, and get the kids to come to your store. V'loyif chois is a shar. He shouldn't undercut the market value of his item, because again, people will come bedafka to his store and he will cause a hefsid to other people. V'chachamim oimrim, the Chachamim said, zochalatoi, fakert, if he lowers the price, and this brings down the price for this commodity. Adarava, it's very good. They're not chayshish for that. Lo yivor es hagrisen. He should not Biboreh should not sift out the grease, nor the crushed beans. And he, Divrei Abishol, Abishol holds that by taking out all the refuse of the crushed beans, he makes the whole item much more beautiful looking, and thereby he's able to charge a higher price, and his price will be inflated, and it will represent more than it would cost for someone, the tircha, to take out all these crushed beans by making it look so beautiful, and therefore it's a deceptive practice. Chachamim matirim, the chachamim holds mutter. We'll see in the Gemara what the svar of the chachamim is and who the chachamim are. Umoidim, the chachamim are also moidet habishol. Shalayivr me'al piyat megura. He shouldn't just do the first layer of the beans and make them beautiful looking, the ones that are sitting in the bin. She'enay elik goynev esayin. Because all he's doing, he's only a goynev esayin. Now the Tosfos Yontif points out that he's only kid goynev. It says that Tosfos Yontif, he's stealing from your eye, gnevis das. Why is it only kid goynev? Says that Tosfos Yontif, even if you're maidia him, even if you tell him, listen, I only took away the crushed beans from the top layer. The rest of them still have the beans, the crushed beans mixed in. Why is it kid goynev, even though he was maidia him? Because the Tiferes Yisrael says, because when the person sees in front of him the top layer of beans that they look beautiful without any refuse there, he doesn't realize how much psoilus there could be there. Or the Tosfos Yontif says, it makes him focus on the good and not on the bad. What you see is what you get. And it's really, he's getting inferior, but it looks to him like it's superior, so in that is considered a form of cheating, and the Chachamim therefore agree, in this case, Tabishol, that it is Gnevis Das, and therefore it's usher to do. Ein mefarches in lois adam lois abeim v'sar kelim. You're not allowed to beautify a person. Rashi and Amud Beis will tell us to speak about an Eved Knani, because an Eved Ivri stopped in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which was at this time, there was no din of Eved Ivri anymore. You cannot beautify an Eved, and we'll see what this means in the Gemara, and you can't beautify an animal, and not a Kalim, because it's deceptive. The Gemara will tell us when it's Mutter, when it's Usser. Ask the Gemara, my Tamayda Rabbana, what's the reason of the first case of the Mishnah, who are Mater, to that a owner can give toasted grains and nuts to the children? Says the Gemara, the Amale, he can say to the competitor, I distributed nuts. Va'at polek shiski, says Rashi. What shiski? The bottom Rashi, prunes. You can give prunes. Prunes are better than nuts. So this is a free market society. You could do better than me. So there's nothing wrong if I give out nuts and toasted grains. Continues the Gemara, you shouldn't lower the value. And the Chum say, no, Fakir, he's remembered for good. My time at Rabbanah is returned to the Samacham at Beis. Mishum de Kamar Vechlatari, he lowers down the market price. If the wholesalers will see that he, even if he's a retailer, that he's lowering the price, so the whole structure of the price will come down even from the wholesalers. Continues the Gemara in the next part of the Mishnah. V'la yivras agris and divrei Abishol v'cham matirit. Man chacham, who are the chacham? Rabacha. The sanya Rabacha matir b'divrei davar anira. Just like we had on Amud Aleph, Rabacha held that if you can taste something, that's not called deceptive. So too, Rabacha says, look, he can take this barrel of beans, which are beautiful. This is the case where the whole barrel has all the psoilus taken out, not just the top layer. And he can compare it to another barrel that it wasn't done yet. And then he could say, okay, it will take me an hour to do this job. An hour, it's worth to me $25. I'm willing to pay more. The regular one is $50. If it's already taken out all the refuse, I would add $25. If he wants to charge me $75, I'm willing to do it. So if he's going to charge me $100, I'm not willing, because that's worth much more than what it would, the tircha that it would cost me to take out the refuse. So since it's something that you could figure out on your own by looking at it and evaluating it, that Rabbi Acha holds is not deceptive. Aim if Arkson Lois Automos like Kalem, you cannot beautify a person. Or Kalem, Tana Rabbanim, we have learned that Aim Misharbitin Esabema. You can't make the hair of an animal stand up. We'll soon see how this is done. And the reason is because it makes the behemoth look fatter, and therefore it can fetch a higher price, which would be deceptive. The Ein Neifchim Bekerbayim, and if you're a butcher, you can't blow up the intestines, because again, it makes the value go up when it's really not worth that much. It's just blown up. The Ein Sharnes Abasar B'Mayim, you cannot make the basar soak in water, because that causes the meat to become white, and then it looks like fat, and it makes the meat look fattier than it really is. My Ein Sharbitin, which means how is this hair that stands up on the animal. How is it actually done? Hacha here in Bavel Tirgum, they explained it. Maya the Chizra, we give it to eat brand water, and that bloats up the stomach and makes the hair stand up. Ziri Omar Rav Kana, Ziri said in the name of Rav Kana, Mizak Fosso. In other words, he brushes it. Shmuel Shor Lamir Matumi Lisarbala. Shmuel permitted to attach silk fringes to a coat to make the coat look more beautiful. Rabbi Yehuda Shora, he permitted lekaskuse karme to starch decorated garments. Rabba Shora lemedik tsrari. Rabba permitted to beat a canvas to make the fibers look finer, thinner and finer. Rava Shora, Rava permitted letzlume giri to paint arrows. Rapapa Bar Shmuel Shor, he permitted Litzlume Dikuloi to paint wicker baskets, asked the Gemara. On all these practices, we looked in our Mishnah, Mefarchsin Loyasa Adam. Veloyasa Beim Loyasa Kalem, you're not allowed to beautify a person or an animal or Kalem. Answers Gemara, Loikasha, Habachadati, Habatiki. If they're brand new and you paint them up and make them look beautiful. So, Adarab, I know it's new, and you're making it even look more. I'm willing to pay for a new item that looks more beautiful. But if it's a used car and the transmission is going to break and you paint it up to make it look like a new car and it's really a piece of junk, so to make something old look new by painting it up, that's deceptive and that is prohibited. And that's what our mission is speaking about. Pirkus the Adamai, what's the case of making a person look more beautiful? Kiha, like this story. There was this Evet, Saba, an old Evet. The Ozel Tzavil Rashul the Kine. He painted, dyed his hair and his beard. Also, the Kamei Rava came in front of Rava. Amalei said to Rava, Zivdan, buy me. Amalei Rava answered with a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you and the B'nai Be'secha, that first I have to support a Jew. They have to be, I have to hire a Jew who's an Ani and be Mefarnesim. You're a Goy. And Rashi says he was a Goy because it's speaking about an Evet Knani. And in the time of, when this Gemara was written, there was no, the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. So there's no Yovel, there's no Evet Ivri. So Rashi says that it was speaking about a Goy. So you're not a Goy. You're a Goy. I can't hire you. Also, the Kamei Rabbi Shmuel, he came in front of Rabbi Shmuel. Zavne and Rabbi Shmuel did buy him. Yom Echad, one day, Rabbi Shmuel said to this Evet, who he thought was a young man because his beard was black and his hair was black. Ashken Maya, give me some water to drink. Ozul Chavre, he made his L'Reishul Dekine, he made his hair and his beard white by removing his dye. Amalei, the Evet, the old Evet, now said to Rabbi Shmuel, Chazi, see, da no koshish mevuch, I'm older than your father. In other words, as the Marsha explains, it's you have to be mechabed. We find the Gemara in Kedushin says Rabbi Yochanan was mechabed, even old goyim. So you want me to get you water? I'm older than your father. Look at how old I am. I really am. And it doesn't pass for you have to give me covet and not expect me to serve you as an Evet. Kare Anavshe, Rapapa Bar Shmuel, who was duped by this old Evet Goy, said he called on himself a Pasuk in Mishlei. Tzadik Mitzor Nechlatz. Rava, who listened to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you and Nim B'nei Be'secha, he was safe from a tzara. He didn't have this old guy who pretended to be a young man by dyeing his hair. V'yavoy acher tachtov, and me, I came instead under, I got the mapola that I bought him, and now I can't even use him as an eved. The Iyun Yaakov, the Ayin Yaakov points out that really the Pasuk Mishlei says, v'yavoy Russia tachtov, except Rabbi Papa Bar Shmuel didn't want to call on himself that he's a Russia, so he paraphrased it and said, v'yavoy acher tachtov. For all those who have finished Perek Hazov, Hadron Allah Chazov, Hadron Allah Chazov, Hadron Allah Chazov. And now we give a Hakdama to Perek Ezu Neshech. The main point of Perek Ezu Neshech is written on Daf Samach, Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Reb Nachman, Klola de Rebisa Kol Agar Naterle Oser. The Klal of Ribis is that if the Loive uses my money, and he gives me a reward for waiting for my money. If we make up that you have to give me back more than I gave you because you're using my money for that time period, that is called ribis. The tour, a lot of what I'm going to say now in the Hakdama, I'm basing on a Hakdama that I heard from Harav HaGoyen Rav Noach Isaac Olbam Shlita in Lakewood this past Sunday night in the Beis Avad L'Inyani Mishpat, where he gave I'm going to just touch on some points that he gave in his Hakdama. The tour in Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Samach, tells us, Ma'oi tzorach lizor be'isser ribis. A person has to be very careful in the isser of ribis, shekamo lavin vazhoris nemer b'toira al isser ribis. There are many lavin and warnings given about isser ribis. V'hifligu chazal b'choymer isser. And Chazal spoke very great about the choymer of this isser. And they said the following things. Kol amalva beribis nechasim nismaiten. Whoever lends money in ribis, his nechasim will go down and deteriorate. They said, kol amalva beribis kilu kafar b'yitzis mitraim v'lakai yisrael. Chas hashalom, a person who lends beribis, it's like he's being kafar in yitzis mitraim and in Hashem. And Yesh Aimrim says the tour, she'ein kom b'tchiyas ha'mesim, that a person who lent money b'ribis does not have tchiyas ha'mesim. The Maral in the Nesivis Oil and Nesivat Stoka says, she'lo matzinu chet v'ovoin she'fligu b'chazal k'moy she'fligu b'chet zeh. We don't find another chet where the Chazal were so strong in condemning a person who was chas v'sholom not careful in this chet. Now, it's interesting that Hilchus Ribis is not found in Choshe Mishpat as we would think it is. For example, Dini Oinoar in Choshe Mishpat, and Perek Azov is Dini Oinoar in Choshe Mishpat. Hilchus Ribis are in Yoredeya. The pshat in this is that Ribis is not that a person is exploiting another human being. Adarabba, even if, let's say, the loive wants to lend the money, borrow the money beribis, because he's going to invest it, and he knows that he's going to make a killing, and he's going to make an unbelievable amount of profit himself. He's 100% ready to pay the ribis. The Torah did not permit it, because this is a bein odom lamakom. It's not a dine mamon, it's an isser. Hashem wants one Jew to lend his fellow brother do a chesed and not charge any interest. And that's why it is mutter to lend money to a goy and he should pay you ribis or you should pay him ribis, because there's nothing immoral about it. There's nothing wrong bein adam l'chaveroi per se. It was only to Klal Yisrael that Hashem felt that a yid, a Jew, to his fellow brother should lend money interest free. If the malva lends beribis, then he's over on five lavin. If the loiva lends beribis, he's also over on one lav. Now, we find the lashon of marbis, and we find the lashon ribis, we find the lashon of neshech. Marbis is when you look at it from the vantage point of the malva, his money is getting increased. Neshech means neshicha, bite. That's looking at it from the loiva's vantage point, that his money is getting decreased. There's a bite taken out of his money because he has to pay back more than he took. There are various levels of ribis. There's ribis tzutza, which is ribis min ha-Torah, and this is prearranged interest at the time of the loan. And the halacha is, if somebody paid money beribis, it's yoitz b'dayonin. He can go to Bezdin, and Bezdin can force the malva to give back the ribis. Then we have avak ribis, which is ribis to rabbanon. And that is number one, derech mekach u'memkar. If it's not a real loan, but it's done through a business transaction, for example, if somebody gets a reduction for paying in advance, so you're getting more value than you paid for because you have to wait to get the goods. So you're going to wind up getting more for your money than if you would have gotten the goods right away. So that is derech mekach memkar, it's avak ribis. Or, for example, if you paid ribis at the time of the paying of the loan, you didn't make up l'chatchila that I'm going to pay you ribis. But when I paid back the loan, I added on something at the time of the payment. That's also avak ribis, but it's not ribis deraisa because we didn't make it up at the time of the loan. The halacha by avak ribis is, it does not go out b'dayonin, but it's a mitzvah, lotzei sidei shemayim, to give back that ribis. Then we have what's called ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres. And the definition of these two is that the ribis is not taking place at the time of the loan. For example, I want to loan from you $1,000, so I want to set you up. How do I set you up? I send you flowers Erev Shabbos. But really, I don't mean to give you the flowers for Shabbos. I mean to give you the flowers for Moitzoy Shabbos when I'm going to come to ask you for the loan. So it's ribis. I'm giving you back more than what I got from you, but it wasn't at the time of the loan. It was Erev Shabbos. Or ribis mucheris. I pay up the loan, and a week later, the next Shabbos, I send you flowers because of the loan that you gave me the week, which I paid up. Again, it's not at the time of the loan. We didn't make it up. It's not even at, I'm not giving it to you back at the time of the loan. So it's also ribis the rabbonin, but it's not called avak ribis. And this, if I paid it, there's not even a chiv lotzei sladei shemayim to give it back. But yet I was over, not on the stringent avak ribis the rabbonin, I was over on a lesser ribis the rabbonin. Interesting, Taisus in Gittin. Taisus says that after a zman muflag, I'm allowed to give you even a matana meruba. In other words, if, let's say, 10 years later, I say, you lent me $10,000 10 years ago, I really owe you a debt of gratitude, I want to give you a nice present. And I give it to you, then there's absolutely no ribis. What's called zman muflag? So Rav Wozner says it could be anything as short as 30 days. If I give it to you a week later, 2 weeks later, that's still connected, has some shaykhs with the loan. He holds, others say it's a longer period of time. Rav Wozner says even if I give it to you after 30 days from the loan, that's already called, that has no shaykhs with the loan at all, and it would be permitted. Then we have a category called ribis devorim. Ribis devorim means I can't give you any gain. It says in the Torah, ribis kol davar. Ribis is not necessarily I'm giving you money, but I give you any kind of benefit. For example, usually I never go over to you to say shalom aleichem. I wait till you come to me. But now that you gave me a nice loan, the next time I see you, I go over to you and say shalom aleichem. That's ribis devorim. Or you are one of the people that I never say good Shabbos to in shul. But now you gave me a loan, I make sure to tell you good Shabbos. Or you gave me a $10,000 loan, and I have a grandchild, I tell my son, do me a favor, I owe this guy something, let him have son de kois. That's ribis devorim. Or tiskel mitzvahs. You give back the loan, and you say tiskel mitzvahs. There are those who say that even that is, even you're giving him a bracha, that's considered ribis devorim. I buy him an aliyah, if I normally would buy this fellow an aliyah, not. But I never buy this guy an aliyah, and he gave me a loan. I bought him aliyah. Or I never lend out my car. I lend him my car. That's all cases where it's a ribis. What about to say thank you? So here there's a big machloikis. The Igros Moshe in Yoredei Siman Pei says it's usher. Rav Shloime Zalman Arbach and Mincha Shloime says it's mutter, because all I'm showing by saying thank you, yasher koyach, is that I'm not a kafui toiva. I'm not denying the good that you gave to me. It's mutter. Rav Al Yashev Shlita says that it's definitely mutter. You know why? Because thank you today means nothing. It's like a knee jerk. Whatever you do, thank you. I have no meaning what in it forever. There's a big machlokes here, so the poskim say what you should do is say thank you for the tircha. So I'm specifying, I'm not thank you for the actual money that you lent me, but for the tircha. And finally, when Rav Olbam concluded, I gave him a Yashir Koyach, where there was no Shal of Ribbis, I had the schus to introduce him. So I said over a story that I heard from Shimon Schwab itself. He wanted to show how Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz was an unbelievable mechanech, a pedagogue. So he once had to borrow money from Rabbi Yeruchim to go ben his money from Poland, Mir, to back to Germany, and he didn't have any money. Rabbi Yeruchim lent him the money. So he came back after ben his money. He went over to Rabbi Yeruchim, and he said warmly, he said, "A grace to Yashikoyach." So Rabbi Yeruchim said to him, "Was haste Yashikoyach? Rib is the worm. How could you say that's," he held like Rav Moshe, "that Yashir Koyach, thank you, that's Ribbis Devorim." The next time this happened, so again, Rav Schwab goes over to Rabbi Yeruchim, he lends him the money, comes back after Ben Hizmanim, and this time Rav Schwab learned his lesson, he gives back the money without a movement on his face, very cold, he hands him the money, and no facial gesture, nothing, and Rabbi Yeruchim says, "Un vu is the Akoras HaTov? Where's your Akoras HaTov, your appreciation of what I did?" He said, "Rabbi, I don't understand. Last time you told me it's Ribbis Devorim. This time you say, where's the Akoras HaTov?" What? He says, "Avad is Ribbis Devorim, it's Usser. But it should be nicker on your face that you appreciate what I did for you, except it's Usser, Alpi Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to do it. But to give it back in such a cold manner, that was my issue." He wanted to show how Rabbi Yeruchim, how he was a mechanech, everything had to be done perfectly well. And with this, we go into the Perek. Says the Mishnah, Ezo Neshech ve'ezo Tarbis. What is Nesach and what is Tarbis? Now these Lashonis we find in the Pasuk. In Vayikra Chafei, Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says, Al Tikach me, in Parshas Bahar, Al Tikach me'itoi Neshech v'Tarbis v'yoreis malakecha. So we already have these words, Neshech and Tarbis. In Pasuk Lamed Zayin there, it says, As Katzmach loisitin loi b'Neshech, uve'marbis loisitin achlecha. Your food. So we see already ribbis by food. And again, the words Neshech, now it's not Tarbis, it's Marbis. But both of these words are the same as the way it's called colloquially, which is ribbis. And they all come from the shorish of rabbah. In other words, the malvah's money is getting more through the ribbis. And neshech, as we explained, is a bite where the loiva's money is getting less. When the Mishnah now asks, Ezel neshech v'ezel tarbis, we're going to see in the Gemara, it's not a kasha on what the lashon of the pasuk is. What is neshech and what is tarbis? Because neshech and tarbis go together. One is looking, as we said, from the malva's vantage point. One is looking at it from the loiva's vantage point. What the Gemara here, when it says tarbis, it means what's an iser ribbis derabbanon. That's what it means. Ezel neshech, what is considered ribbis min ha-Torah, ve'ezel tarbis, and what do we refer to as ribbis min derabbanon? Ezel neshech, hamal v'sela behed norm. If somebody lends out a sela, which is worth 4 dinarim, and he tells the loiva to give him back later, hey dinarim, that's ribbis, the raisa. So sayim chitim b'sholosh, osur mibneshu noshech. If he says, I'm lending you 2 sov chitim, and you're gonna eat that up, and then later you're gonna give me back 3 saw of chitin, so that's osur. And even though we're dealing about food, but as the Torah says in Dvorim, Parshki Seitzei, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav, Leisashik Lachicha, Neshech Kesev, Neshech Oichel, Neshech Kol Dover Sheyushach. So Neshech is not necessarily related only to money, it's related to food or anything where you're giving him back more than what he gave you. So these cases are Neshech Midi or Raisa. Because he's biting him, Rashi says, I'm biting you because I'm taking from you what I did not originally give you. I'm taking back more than I originally gave you. Now, what is ribbis derabbanan? And this is the case of Hamar Bebeperis. Now, this case will be explained extensively on Daf Samach Beis. And we're going to understand it much clearer then. So right now we're just going to go through the Etzem case, although we won't have clear exactly all the aspects here of the Ribbis Drabon. Right away it's Drabonin because it's Mekach u'Memkar. And this case is going to depend on market fluctuations. And if there would be no market fluctuations, the Malva would not be getting back any more than he gave. So that's why the Ritva understands, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to say, how come we're discussing over here Ribbis Rabbanan? How does the Gemara know it's Ribbis Rabbanan? Because it's totally in fluctuation. And something that's totally in fluctuation, if there'd be no fluctuation, I'd get back what I'm giving you. So that is not considered Ribbis Tzutza that we made up to begin with, that you must give me back more than what I am giving you. What's the case of Ribbis Rabbanan? Ketzad? Loka chemenu chitin bedinner zav. If I took chitin from you for a dinner zav, which Rashi says is worth 25 dinari kesef, hakur, that a kur of chitin was sold for 25 silver dinar and one dinner zav, v'chein ashar, and that in fact was the market value at that time. So Rashi says, let's say I didn't even have this, what I'm selling to you. But I could have gone to somebody else at that time, and he would have it, and I would buy it from him and give it to you. But I didn't do that. I said, I'll give you the chitin at a later date. And what happened in the meantime? Omdu chitin, there was a price fluctuation. And omdu chitin belama dinarim, the chitin now were worth 30 dinarim. That originally was 25 was now 30. Oh my loy ten lichiti. So the purchaser says to the moicher, which comes out the purchaser was like the malva, because he had given the money ahead of time. He was like loaning him the money. So he says to the moicher, give me my wheat. Shani writes to the moicher, I don't want really the wheat. I want to sell them the likich men yain. I want to buy with them wine. Amar loy. So the moicher says to the loikeach, harechi techa asuyus alabishloishim. Let's consider it that your wheat made 30 because of the fluctuation in price. And now I owe you wine. The yayin ain loy, and he doesn't have wine. So the Bach puts in the word usser. This is a case. Had he given him the chitim right away, even if he would have given him the chitim at 30, since he originally purchased it with cash, and there was a market value of 25 at that time, so even if later it would have fluctuated and become 30, there would not have been ribbis. However, since he didn't get the chitin, rather he traded it in for wine. So now he's using that shibud that you owe me 25, or you actually owe me now 30 because of the price fluctuation. And now I want to get for that wine. So Rashi points out, even if there's already a shar for the wine, there's a market value of the wine, I'm not purchasing it with actual cash, only with the money that I have value by you. So that is a din that it's usur. And again, the exact dynamics of this case will be explained in great detail in the Gemara. Begins the Gemara. Mid the shavak l'ribis d'raisa, v'kamen farish d'rabbanan. We left over the case of d'raisa and we went to rabbanan, as we explained, because we went into this case of the wheat and the wine with the price fluctuations from 25 to 30, which automatically was derech mekach u'memkar. So this is all only ribis d'rabbanan. There was no ribis tzutza that I had to give you back added value at the end when I pay you the loan. So it's not ribis d'raisa, ribis d'rabbanan. Mechlal d'raisa, d'nesh l'tarbis chadamilsi. It must be that nesh and tarbis m'raisa are all one. In other words, when the Mishnah asked the question, Ezu Neshech Ezu Tarbis, why didn't the Mishnah respond with a case d'raisa of Neshech and a case d'raisa of Tarbis? No, the Mishnah responded with a case d'raisa of Neshech and a case d'rabbanan of Tarbis. Must be that m'raisa, Neshech and Tarbis are all one. That's why you didn't answer me with a case of Tarbis d'raisa. That, because the first case of Amal V'Sela Behei Denorin, that's Neshech and Tarbis Midaraisa. And what I was explaining you, Ve'ezu Tarbis, I meant, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, Ezu Tarbis Ribis D'Rabbanan. I gave you a case with the wheat and the wine. So I deduce from your answer that by you must be Neshech and Tarbis one. I v'okroik sivi neshech kesef ribis eichel. We do find a chilek in, as we mentioned, the pasuk in Devarim and Parshas Kiseitze, loy sashech lachicha neshech kesef, neshech eichel. I'm sorry, the other pasuk. The pasuk says, kaspecha, the pasuk in Bahar, kaspecha loy sitin loy b'neshech, uvemarbis loy sitin nachlecha. So what do we see? We see Kesef has a relationship with Neshech, and Marbis has a relationship with Lesit Nachlecha. So we do find that the Gemara is asking, maybe there is a difference between Neshech and Tarbis Metaraisa. Neshech in Vayikra and Bahar is associated with Kesef, and Ribis is with Marbis is associated with Eichel. Says the Gemara, Vitizbra deik and Neshech play Tarbis, but Tarbis play Neshech. Are you trying to say that Metaraisa, in fact, Neshech could be without Tarbis and Tarbis can be without Neshech? What's the case? Neshech b'loy tarbis hechidami. What would be the case? Ida osfe meya b'meya v'esrim. As Rashi says, meya means 100 prutois. If I lent you 100 prutois, and the deal was that you're going to give me back 120 prutois, and what was the case? Mikora kaimi meya bedanka. In the beginning, when I lent you the 100 prutois, a danka, which Rashi explains, is also known as a mo'ah kesef. A mo'ah kesef is a sixth of a dinner of kesef. Now, we learned in Perek HaZov that the standard of monies always revolves around silver. And that's called the tivi. Nechoshes, the copper, is a commodity. That is called the peri. So if now, at the end of the loan, when I give you back the 120, what was the case? The case was that in the beginning it was 100 for a danke. Ulubisoif kaimi may have asked from a danke, and then there was 120 for the same danke. So we say the danke, which is silver, that didn't fluctuate. You know what fluctuated? The copper fluctuated. The commodity is always the thing that fluctuates. So if now a danke is worth 120, it means that copper got cheaper. And therefore, it takes 120 prutois of copper to equal one danke. So what are you saying? Neshech ikka, you want a taina that will split up the neshech and the tarbis. There is neshech, I'm biting you. The kanachisle, I'm biting you. The kashaku minei miri delo yoev, I'm taking from you an extra 20 prutois that I didn't give you. I gave you 100, I'm taking back 120. And what are you saying? The tarbis leka, but I'm really not adding to my portfolio. The lesle rafka, I have no profit. Why? Because if we look in terms of silver, the danke usve, the danke kashaku minei. I lent you a danka, I took back a danka. What fluctuated the copper? But my danka, it's considered as if it's the same thing. So you're going to say that you're going to split up. It's considered neshech because I took 120 from you, but it's not considered tarbis. So that's not true, says the Gemara. Soif, soif. If we at the bottom line, e baser mikor azlis, if you go after the beginning when the loan was made, hari neshech hari tarbis, then there is neshech and tarbis. I wanted to get 120 from you. That would increase me, and it would decrease you. There's a bite on you, and there's a ribui on me. E baser b'soif, if you go at the time of the end of the loan, loy neshech ikav loy tarbis ikav. Then there's not neshech, and there's not tarbis. Why? Because at the end, the danka was worth 120. So what I made up that you should give me, you're giving me back a danka. You took a danka, you give back a danka. It just happens to be the danka now is worth 120. So if you look at the end of the loan, I really didn't give you back anything more than I took. I just took a danka and I gave you back a danka. Visu, tarbis b'loy neshech ekadami. What would be a case where you would have extra, the malva would be extra, and not take anything from the loiva? What's the case? Ida is if meya b'meya, if I made up, I'm giving you 100 prutas, I want back 100 prutas. Mikora kaima meya b'danka, in the beginning, there was 100 for a danka, which is a sixth of a dinner. Ula b'soif meya b'chumsha, and at the end, 100 was worth more. It was worth a fifth of a dinner, not a sixth, a fifth. So again, if you go after the beginning of the loan, because I made up, I'm going to give you back 100. I'm not going to give you any profit. I'm not going to give you any ribbis. If you're going to go at the end of the loan. So then, then I gave you back a danko, which is worth, I gave you back 100, but the 100 is worth a fifth of a dinner and not a sixth of a dinner. So then I am giving you. Then there's tarbis, there's also nesha. So how do you split up the nesha from the tarbis? You don't split it up. El Amarava, Ia Tomaitzi, Loi Neshech, Loi Tarbis, Loi Tarbis, Loi Neshech. You're right. You can never admit a rice that can split up Tarbis from Neshech. V'loi Cholka Nakasev. So why does the Torah use different terminology? El Lavra Lav Bishnei Lavin, that a person should be over on two Lavin. Should be over for Tarbis and for Neshech. But in terms, can you have one case with the other? Mid a rice, you can't. So when the Mishnah said Ezo Neshech, there's a Tarbis, the Mishnah didn't mean two types of derises, because they're all one. They're two lavin. But they're all one. Whenever you're over one lav, you're over the other lav. The Mishnah means, what's neshech derisa, and what is tarbis, the rabbanon.